Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
I am Angelo Ponzi, and we're here at the Business Growth Cafe. Thank you for joining us. Each week, we select from a menu of topics that could impact business growth to discuss with experts from a wide variety of disciplines. And today at the cafe, I'm excited to have Denise Drummond-Dunn, CEO of C3 Centricity, on our show to discuss customer centricity and how having a customer-focused strategy can have an impact on your business growth. Denise, welcome.
Hi, Angelo. I can hear you.
There we are. Good thing you're not in Switzerland where you live. You're only in Florida, so this would have been more difficult.
Well, I'm not sure it could be any more difficult, but I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get things started. First of all, let's take a few minutes and tell our audience, please, about who you are, your services, and the impact your company can have on business growth.
Great. Okay. Well, welcome, everybody, and thank you for joining us. My name is Denise Drummond-Dunn, and I'm President and Chief Catalyst at C3 Centricity. As Angelo says, we're based in Switzerland, and I actually come to the U.S. very regularly, and I'm at least four times a year in Miami because I lecture at Miami University, where I'm speaking today. I have, as I said, a lot of clients in the U.S., but all over the world, and I help organizations to put the customer where they belong, back at the heart of business. And I help them adopt a customer-first strategy, which actually impacts every area of an organization. So I work very closely with everybody in an organization when they hire me. I've worked in more than 100 countries around the world and in tens of different industries. So I'm sure that I could help everybody listening in today. They just need to accept that they could be paying more attention to the very people that are paying their salaries by buying products and services. It's not your bosses that pay the salaries, it's your customers.
Right. So let's talk about a little bit about customer centricity. Can you give me 30 seconds on what that really means?
Customer centricity is simply putting the customer at the heart of the business, so in the center of business, as simple as that.
Okay. So when I think about putting the customer at the heart of the business, I mean, you can look at customer service or customer experience. I mean, it sounds like we're talking more about customer experience versus maybe a customer service attribute here.
Yeah, it's a good question to ask because customer service and customer experience are obviously related, but they are different. Customer service is about responding to customers, and customer experience is how they perceive that service, which, as we all know, is not always that positive.
Right.
I'm sure we've all been in contact with companies where we don't have a great experience.
So when you're establishing a customer-first strategy, I mean, where does that start from? Is that a kind of a top-down? Does that reside in the marketing department? Who is the champion of a customer-first strategy, and how does it filter out not only externally but internally within the organization?
It impacts. If it's to work, it impacts everybody in the organization. But it obviously should be a top-down agenda because the whole company needs to get behind it. So it won't work if it's just marketing or just sales or one department. It has to be everybody. So we need to get a top-level sponsor, and then they need to encourage everybody to think customer service and customer first in everything they do.
So really, it's some kind of a champion, if you will, within the organization to really help move this throughout internally through all departments and all levels within the organization.
Absolutely. That person has to be seen as the voice of the customer within the organization. So it's usually a good idea to have somebody not from marketing. I would say market research and insight or business planning strategy, somebody like that, that works with all the different departments within an organization, because the customer comes into contact or is impacted by everybody every employee in an organization. So everybody needs to be involved.
Okay. So obviously the goal of an organization then is to get closer and have a better relationship, if you will, to give their customer an experience, regardless whether it's a product, a service, if it's online or in a retail situation within the store. Can you give me a couple examples of a customer-first strategy that's been implemented, and I'll say that have done it well?
Well, the examples that I've always quoted are companies such as Zappos and Amazon. And what I like about them is that they really do get everybody involved. And in fact, their executives work on their call centers when they first join the organization. And everybody in the organization does spend time talking to consumers. And that, for me, is one of the basics of a good customer-focused organization, that everybody regularly speaks to the customer, because customers are on the move. We're changing so fast. The world is changing so fast. So what excited today is boring and ordinary tomorrow. So we really have to stay on top of how the customer is changing.
So that's an interesting aspect of, regardless of where they are in the organization, that they spend time in customer service or having conversations with customers to really understand their needs, their wants, their motivations, behaviors, to help move that up and throughout the organization, if that's what I'm hearing you say.
Absolutely. And knowledge sharing and understanding of consumers has to be shared across the organization, because we all pick up information and normally it stays in the silos within the departments. And a customer first strategy means that everybody gets involved and everybody shares what they know about the consumer or the customer.
Right. I remember back when in my advertising days, we had the opportunity to work with some restaurant chains. And I know one of the things that we used to do is to take everybody on the ad team and actually get them on to the front line in the restaurant and do some customer service and go through training so we could understand what it was like for them on the front line to be able to deliver a better experience, because we physically knew what it was like to be there. So we got a couple good examples of what companies that have worked really well. Are there any examples you can give of, say, a poor execution of a customer-first strategy, kind of like what not to do?
Great question. For me, it's not so much a company, because obviously I don't know intimately every company around the world. What I would say are the companies that aren't doing a good job, most of the time it's because they're talking the talk but not walking the walk. So in other words, they're saying how important the customer is, but they're not actually changing the way they work. So that, for me, any company that does that is a bad example of adopting a customer-first strategy. So it's really making sure, not just talking about the importance, but actually, like you said, getting on the front line, getting your hands dirty, and most importantly, taking the customer's perspective, because that's what you're doing. You're living your brand, your product, your service through the eyes of your customers, and that's the way you really begin not only to know but to understand what it's like for them to work with your company.
Right. This is really a cultural shift if a company does not have a customer first strategy or focusing on the customer. There's a cultural change that has to happen first before a program like this is going to be successful.
Absolutely. That's why it's so important to have a top level, ideally C-suite, sponsor for the initiative, because it impacts everybody in the company. As you say, it's a cultural change. But so, it's a very effective and profitable change when you make it.
So let's say I'm the marketing guy or the president of XYZ Corporation, and I really want to implement a program. What are two or three tips, if you will, or guidelines would you tell me to kind of start off looking at to see, you know, what kind of change I need to make within my organization to bring a customer-first strategy to fruition?
Okay, yeah, two or three. I would say, first of all, know your customer deeply. And it's amazing how many companies don't really know who their customers are. They might know that they're men 25, 45, but that's not enough. You need to understand what type of man. Where does he live? What are his motivations, his values? What is her desires, his dreams? So really not just knowing, but understanding who your customer is. That would be number one for me.
And before you go on to number two, hang on a second. So really talking about spending time developing customer personas.
Customer personas is essential. I mean, you can't know your customer if you don't have a persona. So well, yes, absolutely, Angela.
Yeah. Well, you'd be surprised sometimes when I've talking to prospective clients and we talk about customer personas, and I hear, well, I know their job title. Nah, that's not a customer persona. Anyway, tip number two. Sorry to distract you, but tip number two.
Okay, as we mentioned before, because the company culture will change, we need to have somebody within the organization that is seen to be representing the customer internally and actually becomes the voice of the customer. So ask those awkward questions. Then I would say start all your processes, every meeting, etc., by the customer. So in other words, think about who you're designing an ad for or a new product for. If you are having a meeting, it's great to have a picture. If you've got a picture of some typical customers, put them in your reports. Just remind everybody who that customer is. And I even have clients who leave an empty chair in their meetings, and that is the customer.
That's kind of interesting.
Is always present. Absolutely. I think it's a great idea, but they did say that sometimes what happens is they need extra chairs and they end up being used. So it doesn't always work. That's why I say a picture or two. I mean, it's amazing how many companies will have products in their reception area, but not one picture of their customers.
Okay. So let's talk about the customer journey, if you will. So if we've developed our personas, we know we're going to have a focus on customer centricity. So obviously, if we're building the customer journey, it seems like that's another essential step to make sure we understand how we've mapped out our customer journey and the experiences that they can have along the way.
Absolutely. It comes back to what you were saying in your example in the restaurant business. The journey has to be seen from the customer's perspective. Sometimes companies are too quick to identify 3, 5, 10 steps, however many it is, to go from first becoming aware of a product or service and end up becoming loyal to the brand. But you have to look at it from the customer's perspective. How many different things do they go through in finally taking the decision to buy and then rebuy and finally to become loyal? And one area a lot of people forget about is the emotional involvement of the customer at each of those steps. So it's not only developing your customer journey, but understanding how are their emotions changing, and those are quite often those where the emotions are negative or not positive. Those are the first steps on the customer journey that you need to look at and improve.
Right. So obviously, it's not creating the personas and understanding your customer just doesn't happen overnight. There's a process to it, and we've met and know each other from several years ago, and we both have market research backgrounds, and obviously I always push the fact that we have to understand the customer, we have to get those insights, and really help develop those personas so we understand their needs and wants and motivations as we start to implement these kinds of a program. Now, I also find so many times that, as soon as I say market research, big dollar signs start to, show up in front of the client's eyes because that's all they can think about is market research. But that's not necessarily really true. But it's essential, I believe, that we have to understand and get that information by having conversations with the customers, focus groups or quantitative studies, whatever it happens to be, in order to help understand who they are so we can focus. Do you find companies are investing in research, or how are your clients doing it?
Oh, absolutely. As you say, it's essential to understanding. However, sometimes, and I agree, people immediately think big bucks, but what I have found is that you have to first get them interested in understanding the customer. And I do that by just saying to them, we're listening to your call centers. That's free and you can learn some information. Or talk to the merchandisers in the retail outlets, or serve if you have retail outlets. actually work behind the counter and talk as you did with the restaurant, you know, talk to the customers. And when they understand the information that can be of so much value to them by talking to the customer, they're then far more open to spending the money. Because if you immediately say, well, if you want to know the customer, it's going to cost you tens or even hundreds of thousands of dollars, obviously, if they don't understand the value, they're not going to be as open to it. So I get them going gently with things that they can do for free, and then they understand the value.
Okay. Well, those are some good suggestions. Artificial intelligence is tops on everybody's mind, whether it comes to, you know, different industries and jobs and things like that. So how is AI going to impact the customer's future brand experience and certainly a customer-focused strategy from a particular brand?
It's going to have a huge impact because AI helps us with relevant information more quickly. So it will help us to better understand the customer and be able to segment the customers into different needs. But what I have found is that many companies are using AI at the point of sale. And I think it's a great idea. I mean, clothing are doing it already, the beauty industry. Mm-hmm. AI has to be used for the benefit of the customer. And if we take something like personal information that quite often gets analyzed through AI, people are happy to give their information if they get something in return. So again, it's taking the customer perspective. It's great to give them my measurements, but that's so I get better clothing. It's great to let them analyze my skin, but I need to be able to then look better by having makeup that suits me better. They're using a lot in point of sale. Companies are also using it, obviously, online and to identify the best potential leads to follow up. I mean, we all have cookies, knowingly or unknowingly, on our computers.
Yeah, exactly.
And that helps companies to better understand what we need. So I think in the future, what will happen is that people will become more aware, because I don't think a lot of people are aware just how many cookies are on our computers following our every move. But I think we would agree if we knew why, well, what is being gathered and for what purpose. And that way it has value to us. But until that happens, I think people are likely to become even more negative about following us online until really companies become more open about it.
Right. So, you know, obviously there's an investment that a corporation is going to make, especially if they are not a customer strategy first organization, but really talking about a transformation of their current approach to a customer centric focused effort. How is that measured? You know, obviously that's an investment of time, it's an investment of money, it's a change of culture. It's obviously have some kind of an impact on the bottom line. Is there kind of some ROI or some measurement, or is that really just in the proof of better customer relations?
Oh, there's been many studies done on the impact of a customer first strategy, and companies like McKinsey, Gartner, Forrester have all done work on this. And some of the most striking numbers that I can remember from all those studies, there was one study done that showed that companies that excel at customer experience, customer relations management, grew three times faster than the S&P index, and a whopping seven times faster than those that don't. They also tend to be 60% more profitable. So, you know, those are numbers that the executive board will listen to. They might not be that interested in treating the customer well, but they will be interested in growing their business and making it more profitable.
Okay.
And those numbers happen fast.
Right, right. So we're actually coming down, believe it or not, 20 minutes has already gone by. So a couple quick questions. I'd be remiss, obviously, if I didn't bring up your book, Winning Customer Centricity. But what I like about your book, and you can tell the audience where to get it in a minute, is you really broke it down kind of a week-by-week instructional, easy-to-implement program And so a company that's serious about doing this, obviously you've given them the complete guidelines and map how to do it. But prior to implementing your book, if you will, I mean, how much time does this really take to convert, and what kind of pre-planning is necessary to implementing a program?
How long does it take? It could take as quick as 10 seconds.
Okay.
Because a lot of companies say to me, what do I do? Where do I start? And I said, if you forget everything I've told you, but one thing, just ask yourself, every meeting where you take a decision, just ask yourself, what would our customers think of the decision we've just taken? If they wouldn't agree with it, then you maybe need to rethink. And if you keep that in the back of your mind when you're doing any, whatever you're doing, whatever department you work in, if you ask, what would our customers think of this? It's amazing how many decisions would need to be retaken, because they're not good for the customer. And at the end of the day, we're all customers.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I love that. That's a great tip. That kind of a simple takeaway. I really like that. It's kind of the smell test, if you will. If we can't get past what would our customers think of this decision, then obviously we need to step back and rethink. So as we're kind of coming to an end here, I typically ask this question of all my guests. You know, we both run small businesses. So when you think about growing your business, you know, what keeps you up at night? You know, what are your biggest challenges or obstacles to growth?
What keeps me up at night is, in fact, thinking about all these companies that are talking the talk and not walking the walk of customer centricity. As far as I'm concerned, I hope I am walking the talk, and my clients see me as customer centric, and everybody I work with, I'm not a major consultancy. I tend to personalize the service for every client. And that's what they appreciate. I work within their system. I don't ask them to change everything just to be able to work with me.
So right.
What keeps me up is mainly all the companies that are not walking the talk.
Okay. Well, Denise, I want to thank you for, you know, joining me today. I know you're on the East Coast, you're visiting and giving some lectures today. But first of all, real briefly, can you tell our listeners how they can contact you, your website, email, LinkedIn, and where they can buy your book?
Yes, thank you, Angelo, for the opportunity. They can contact me on C3 Centricity, and that's CENTRICITY.com. So C3Centricity.com. And there you can contact me, and they've got my email. Being customer-centric, you've got my email, my telephone number, my address, everything you want to know about me. If you want to buy my book, you can buy it online on my website, or you can buy it on Amazon. You can drop into Barnes & Noble or any good bookstore. They should have it. If they don't, let me know. And if you go onto my website, you can actually download the first three chapters. So you can start going, becoming more customer-centric immediately. And I should just mention, for those of you that don't like reading, it's also available as an audio book. So
there you go.
Have no excuses if you need to listen rather than read. You can listen to it in the car on your commute to work.
Right. You're walking the walk and talking the talk. So thank you so much for joining me today. Again, thank you for joining us at the cafe. You can find out more information about me and read my blogs at the Ponzi Group at www.theponzigroup.com. Connect with me on LinkedIn or many other ways, and you can subscribe to our show at thebusinessgrowthcafe.com, and coming soon to another podcast platforms all around the world. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.